Adam was going there. Oh, yeah, come, come. Adam, you're not good like this. So. Adam said, but just like you said, I was very good. He said, that was then. The phase of life you were in that time, you were very good. This next phase of life, you are not good. What is good? Ability to fulfill your function. Ability to fulfill the purpose of life. So when Adam was in one particular phase, he was very good. Then when it was now time to move into another phase, God said, come, it is not good that you are alone. He said, but you said I was good just now. He said, that was then. Listen, anyway, we keep learning. So many things to say. I'm talking about the will of God. That's why I went into that. People say, which one is the will of God? It is not the one that you prayed and your spirit said. That one is good for that day. Even the one that God said openly to Abraham. After a while, God said, you do. Was it not God that said, come and sacrifice Isaac? Abraham didn't go there and say, I will cut his neck. The Lord spoke to me. God said, don't kill him again. No, I have heard God. I'm going to change my mind. He heard God. But the time came, God said, all right, you have heard me, you have fulfilled it, you do. Don't sacrifice Isaac anymore. Sacrifice the lamb that is over there. I'm not saying people use experiences to determine the will of God too much and stick sometimes with things that are not working, which are not true. Brethren are looking at it and say, my brother, this thing is not good, though. The Lord spoke to me to start like this. When was that? 18 months ago, fine. In 18 months, I know the Lord well. Things may have changed. Not because he hasn't changed his mind, though. He has brought you to a level where you can hear a new thing. You don't know that? What God says to you is limited by what you can hear. So what he says to you 18 months ago, if you go back and pray again, sometimes what you can hear has improved. Then he moves you to another level. But my emphasis is that don't stick with all this, I saw vision, I saw dreams and all of that. Each moment of your life, stick with righteousness. That's what I'm going to. How do I know the will of God? The will of God is that which is right. According to my understanding of divine precepts. You know, I told you, listen, people say that, God will speak peace to your mind. The Holy Spirit will speak peace. Please, my brethren, there are times he speaks peace. A lot of time when you feel peace is because he's refusing to talk. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes he speaks what? Peace. Other times when you feel peace, it is because he is refusing to talk. Because for you to have this, you know, lack of ease, no peace in your mind, it is because he's still talking. If Joseph had gone to pray and said, Lord, please, this is my madam. She says she needs me very seriously. You said give to all that ask of thee. I am not. It's not me. It's just, you know, I'm trying to. I know she's my master's wife and she's technically outside my boundaries. I know, but you see, I said, let me just come and confirm. Because, you know, I was just thinking that, well, nobody will know and she will be happy. I can even minister to her while we're in. You know what God will say? Peace. Yeah, God will not say don't do it. There are things that God will never tell you don't do. God will just be looking at you. Joseph. So look, what did you say? Should I go? If you want, if you feel like it, go ahead. So God will never say that. I don't have time to show you from scripture that he does. Yeah, he will do that. And you will see peace. Peace to go and defile another man's wife. As soon as they are coming out, the angel that was waiting for Balaam will be waiting for you at the door. And since you are not on a donkey this time around, no donkey to help you dodge. The angel is going to remove your neck and you are going to die. Why? You were waiting for peace. Waiting for the word of God to speak to you what is clear to every child of God. What even backslidden Christians can correct you about. You are praying that God should reveal it to you. I told you, I'm talking about the will of God. Number one way to know the will of God is to just know what is right and what is wrong. That is the number one way. Number one way to know the will of God is not, how do I pray? Some say, pray for 1 hour until your spirit is quiet, then the voice of the Holy Spirit begins to bubble up from inside you. You only do those things when every sense of right and wrong has been exercised and it has not solved the problem. When you have purified your motives, you have done everything, and still you cannot decide which one is right, which one is wrong. These are not situations that come up every day in life. In a whole year, a typical Christian won't experience this more than 2 or 3 times. Okay, let's stretch it to 4. The one day I don't remember every morning to know the will of God for the day. You are totally confused. You don't know it yet. Next year, me too, I'm going to do 30 days fasting and praying. Maybe even this year, not even next year. Somewhere along the line. I'm going to declare 30 days fasting and praying my own way. All this fasting and praying we do is each pastor has his own way. None of them is God's way. Each man has his method. Some people will say the first 1 week, the first 3 days, dry. Just personal advice between me and you, okay? Unless you sinned, you committed adultery, you killed 3 people, only you. Don't bother. Do you hear what I said? Yes, unless you did something terrible. In which sin, I'm sorry. Even God said, no, I don't agree, I'm sorry. I must do you what I did to David. Unless you are into that realm, don't do dry. 3 days, my brother. Even if you die, your blood is not going to save anybody. Jesus has already died for the sins of the whole world. Are you getting my point? Mm-hmm. 3 days, no food, no water. Hey, bros, have a. Let me not go to fasting matters. But many Christians said, this walk of the flesh is still in our body, even though we think it is righteousness. 3 days, no food, no water, waiting. It's a very ungodly thing to do. I hope you understand that. You have heard that you should do it. Now I said to you, don't do it. What if I'm in the presence of God? Then we wouldn't even be discussing. You'll be so much in the presence of God, we can't discuss. I don't know what you're getting on to say. The thing will overshadow you. It is not about, I don't want to drink, I don't want to eat. There will just be no occasion. That was how Moses stayed 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of God. That was how Jesus did it in the wilderness. So this is what I was making. Now, the reason why I went to do that, I was trying to explain something about this fasting thing, that one day I'm going to do it. What Daniel and I were discussing yesterday about it is that I said, listen, what will be my own 30 days fasting? Let me give you the rules ahead so that you can participate. If you're interested, say amen. Get ready for it. We'll do it sometime later in the year. Invite everybody. 30 days. This is how it will be. These are the rules. Rule number one, if you get too hungry at any point in time, chop something. Don't faint on my neck. If you are going to go to work, you must eat something. If you don't go to work, you don't have to. That's rule number one. The rule number two, which is actually most important, is that before you go out every morning, we have declarations of the word of God you must do at least 15 minutes. Every day you must listen to a message at least 1 hour. For the 30 days, we'll select like 4 books that everybody must go through. We'll choose chapter day by day. And the evening, we'll gather for 1 hour to share the word of God for 30 minutes, and pray together for 30 minutes. You know why I said that? If you do that for 30 days, you will understand God so much. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. You will understand God so much that before they bring up an issue, you know the will of God. Because the will of God is understanding. It's what you understand. You must understand what the will of God is. It's not just to know. It is to what? Understand. I know where I went into all of this. So I'm talking about progress in your life. How you will know that the next phase of your life is a stage of progress is when you entered into it by fulfilling the tenets of righteousness. We're talking about Joseph. Joseph stepped from one phase into the next, even though to the natural eyes it looks downwards. Yet, how did he get there? He got there because temptation was presented to him and he resisted it successfully. And he pleased God. And the angels rejoiced in heaven that this boy did not disappoint us. And the Holy Spirit said, good, we worked on him well. He learned. Everything we taught him, he learned it. This was his test. And when he passed the test, God rewarded him with the next phase of his life, which was where? Prison. You know, if he had failed the test, he would have been elevated in the house of Potiphar. Because his boundary would have expanded. You know, before, Mrs. Potiphar was outside the boundary. Now, Mrs. Potiphar has been included. So now, you know, he's now a powerful guy in the house of Potiphar. Many people are making progress outwardly. They are failing God routinely inside them. Many people have made advancement in ministry. It's a sign that they have missed God. Be very careful when people use outward results to show you that you are doing well. One day I was somewhere. And one woman, well, a minister, she was telling me about another man of God. He said, this man, they were pushing him that time to start a church. And they mentioned the name of another man of God who was senior to him, pushing him to start the church. Now listen to me. Starting a church is not a bad thing. I have personally requested some of my friends before that, listen, what are you doing? You know this is what you should be doing. Why don't you just go ahead and start? I've told somebody that before. I've encouraged people. I've done what I can to support and encourage people to do these things. But it's not for everybody. There are big congregations today that because they lack, listen to this, there's a serious shortage of ministers. They have used Jeroboam principle to anoint pastors. Anybody who wants, just give him branch. Make him pastor. That's what Jeroboam used to do. After he built his high places. Anybody who wanted, because priestly office, you know, in case you don't know the scriptures, God made abundant provision for the priest. So I hope you know that. Oh, you didn't read the Bible? You think the priest, the Bible, look, all the offerings in the Bible, they used to chop most of it. When you bring an offering to God, the priest is happy you had green thanksgiving. Because when you go to church and you bring cow, you bring fowl, you think, well, it's not a burnt offering. It's a chopped offering. Whole burnt offering, everything is smoked. But most offerings in Israel were not like that. When you, as you are slaughtering the cow, the priest is doing, we thank the Lord, we thank God, the Lord bless you. The guy on the check says, my God, this cow is good size. And he's a good priest too. Because God had given it to him as an inheritance. So in Israel, when Jeroboam started that one, when Jeroboam started his own priesthood, a lot of people saw that, man, life rough. So they go queue up. Jeroboam just appointed them priests. Now, why am I going into this? I'm telling you why a lot of people miss things. So this man, I was telling you a story, right? About the story. So this poor man was telling me that this senior man was telling this man, start a church. The man said, no need. This is my ministry. The guy pressed him until one day he started the church. And this was the testimony. Immediately his ministry exploded, you know? Boom! The testimony was that this man became a big man. There was only one problem. Later on, he had a terrible crisis in his life. Horrible. And I remembered that, listen, this came out of that church that somebody pressed him into starting. And the big ministry that we knew him for, we didn't know him much for it again. And the man who pressed him, now listen to this, who pushed him into that, from the testimony I heard, another man senior to that one, who had prophetic insight, who knew God, looked at that man and said, the day you started your church, you walked out of the will of God for your life. And sometime last year, I heard a man who knew about it talking, an elderly man. And he said, that was where the man walked out of the will of God for his life, when he started that church. And that church was, outwardly speaking, boom, explosion, increase, branches, influence, big man of God. But people who had superior insight looked. In fact, they actually told him, say, for this one you have done, the Lord is not happy with it. So you cannot use this outward increase as a sign that you are doing well.
You cannot.
Is it good? Is it bad? The only thing you can check is, my name is Joseph. How did I get into prison? It was simply that something was presented before me, and it was, will this please God, or will this, the other one, please him? Which one do we do? So we chose the one that every bit of understanding, spiritual understanding we had, spiritual knowledge says this will be pleasing to God. When we did it, we landed in prison. I like what the pastor put. You said years ago. He said, what is the will of God? He said, do the right thing. The consequence is the will of God. He said, do the right thing. So look back to that job you lost. That place you were fired from. Once, it was not because you stole their money. You know, some Christians will say it's persecution. What is the persecution? Every Thursday you come to work, you are sleeping. Why? You went for night vigil on a Wednesday. If they sack you, it's not persecution. No. It's reward of foolishness. The firing is the judgmental will of God, but it's not the pleasurable will of God. You know, there are different types of will of God now. There is one in which God sat as judge and fired you, but as father, he didn't want you fired. That one is not the will of God in that area. So let it not be that they fired you for misbehavior. Some people are very unreliable. When they do assessment in the office and they score them low, they say, I am being persecuted because I am a Christian. It's a cop-out for a lot of people. They are irresponsible, undependable, unskilled in their work. Yet, because they gave a seed in church towards good assessment, bring a special seed and speak to it, and God will do it for you. So the man brought a special seed and spoke to it that this week is our appraiser in the office. I want to be the best. For your information, appraisers most of the times are not based on the size of your offering in church. They are based upon the performance in the office. I hope you are clear with that. Sow all the seeds you want. God will not give you a higher appraiser at work. If you sow seed and God wants to reward it, you know what he will do? He will give you skill. You will now carry the skill to work. And the skill will now earn you a higher appraiser in the office. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were going to be the best, it was not because they refused to eat bad things. It was because God gave them wisdom so that when they were tested, they were found to be 10 times better. It is not as if the king just came, I heard people, you've been fasting. Oh. Your God spoke to him that I should score you 10 over 10, 10 over 10. No, he said this is your fasting. This is your spiritual devotion. Must produce something for you, for me at work. Some Christians, when they score them low on a prayer, they say it's persecution just because their seed did not germinate. I hope you are getting my point. No, we need to clarify these things because, you know, Christians, it's not their fault. You know, I was telling this man of God when we were talking, we have no number of preachers in this house. I said, Jesus looked at the mortals. He said they were like sheep without shepherd. It's lack of shepherd that is the problem. People to tell them the truth. Christians, oh my God. This 2015, understanding is what we are praying for the body of Christ in Nigeria. Because until the body of Christ is delivered, the politicians are in trouble. You know that? No, we keep on saying it. Until Christians are delivered, politicians are in trouble. God will never wipe corruption out of government until he has wiped it out of the church. I hope you are getting my point. Let me complete my message. So the point I was making is that, so you see, for Joseph, his next phase in life was prison. But how do we know it's the will of God? It's simply because what got him there was obedience to the will of God. Are you getting my point? Which was very clear concerning Mrs. Potiphar. He did not do anything wrong that we know of. The Bible makes it clear that he went there innocently. Yet he landed in prison. And interestingly enough, God did not deliver him in a hurry. You know, he was there for some time. I don't know the length of days. I've not bothered to calculate it. But he was there for a while. Because it was not the day he arrived, they made him put him in charge of things. He must have worked for many months before they saw. Of course, the first few weeks, he's devastated. He's a human being. The guy was not a spirit, I hope you know. And nobody preached to him the amount of preaching you have heard. So when he got there, he too was devastated. When he got there, he was unhappy. He was sad. It must have taken the Lord some days to encourage that young man to wake up. I suppose the first 1 month, every morning he'll wake up and cry. And say, where is the God of my fathers? He would have wondered too. Before the Holy Spirit will use style to tell him, say, well, now that you are here, make the best of it. Then something that was inside him would just rise up. He just start doing his work. And the skill that he had just kept on showing. So that took months before the jailer was confident enough to leave everything in the hand of a prisoner. Took a while. And don't forget that the man who he helped forgot him for 2 years. So I'm not even counting, I've not counted the 2 years for which a man left him there. The question is, now we know the whole story. Was that prison the plan and the next step of God for his life? Yes, it was. That was how God connected everything. By faith, we understand that that indeed was the will of God. So you see, progress was not measured by outward, external things. It was not. Progress was measured by, now that I'm being tested, did I pass my test? Every time in life, you'll be tested. Progress is, am I still failing the same test? Or have begun to pass the test? That's progress. It's not whether I now have money or I don't have money. I said to us, faith helps us to give things up. Faith helps us to lay things down and not feel in any way as if we are not making progress. The world should not teach us how to measure spiritual progress. I said something the other time, let me say it again. The amount of material resources a man has for us Christians, let me just talk about Christians now. The other time I gave some people as examples. Let's stick with Christianity. For Christians, everything is a tool. Do you get my point? Everything is what? A tool. Once I was talking to my mother. After a while, she said, because she was trying to wonder that where did you get, you know, they say that these guys, where did they get this kind of wisdom from? Do you follow my point? You know, they heard them, Peter and Co. It now said they had been with Jesus. You know, but of course, the issue that time was not that they were with Jesus. If you look at it well, it wasn't out of experience. It was because of an anointing. Because Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are what? Endued with power from on high. It was when that power came upon them that Peter got up and spoke. And when he spoke, they interpreted it that, look, they had been with Jesus and all of that. But the truth was, yes, of course, it was because they had been with Jesus. But it was not because of the schooling. It was because Jesus had gotten them prepared for an endowment, all right, with power. So, that day I was talking with my mom. She just said, is this how everybody in your fellowship on campus, is that how all of you talk? Because she wanted to know, like, where did this, my boy, get this depth of wisdom from, you know, and eloquence and fluency of words. Because I remember then, in fact, that one of those days, I just came home from school. Was it school now or something? Yes. And I just entered the house with my bag. So my mom came, you know, to greet, hey, how are you? So I greeted her and stood up. She said, I'm like, how are you doing? To say I am fine. I preached like a 10-minute message. I remember that day. And she stood there transfixed. I don't know how many minutes for sure, right? But I still remember that day. So that one of them just wondered, say, this way they talk like this. Where did this come from? Of course, we now understand, of course, then I'm not sure I understood, but that it was an anointing. It was an unction. It was an, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do something. Do you get my point? Hey. Now I'm going somewhere. Christians have to understand sometimes. No, they have to understand that a lot of times people you see in life with a lot of money, it is not a sign of spiritual progress. It's their own unction. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's their own unction. I have never prayed. There are prayer points I can't pray. It's not even good to pray it. I have never prayed I will be the chairman of a company that's worth $5 billion. Pastor Banke, I thought you believe in prosperity. That is not prosperity, it's distraction from the ministry. You know what it means to be chairman of a company? You'll be going for meeting all the time, deciding policies. I'm sure even you don't want it. Even on the surface, you think, yeah, Pastor, we wish it for you, but you know, you're not going to preach again. Now, so this is what Allah takes that. No. Oh, please don't bless him like that. Thank you. Now, all I want to say is this, all right? That Christians must understand, you cannot be envy a man who is doing his work. That's why a lot of Christians are mistaken today. You go to a church, they make you deacon. Deacon is good. Any Christian can be deacon. Any Christian. Being a deacon is about being a senior. Being somebody in charge of something. That's all. Whether you're a cult preacher or you're not a cult preacher, whatever it is, you can be a deacon using the scriptures. However, when they come promote you, they promoted you and made you the pastor of a branch, it is not a sign of spiritual progress. It may be a sign that you are going to die like 25 years earlier than you are supposed to. I pray Christians will understand. Many people are in ministry now, and God said, this is the reason why this guy, you can't live long. He has turned himself to a preacher because they've called him a pastor. So you two will not carry this sin. Praise the Lord today. And the Lord began to speak to me. God said, me, talk to you. Me. You think I don't know the correct phone numbers where I won't call? Me, talk to you. And I saw, of course, then the evil spirit said, yes, he spoke to you. Then they will start talking to him. And the next thing, he will even start giving word of knowledge because he has watched television so much, he has seen Benny Hinn. Because he will now start sending people to him. Start warning him. You tune in and hear me preach. And that's why I wrote the book, How to Work for God. Being a preacher is not a special way of working for God. It's only if you are called to preach. You know what I'm saying? Being a preacher like that. Every Christian should be able to preach to somebody, share the word of God with somebody. I'm not talking about spiritual progress. You don't measure spiritual progress like this. Praise God. Come for celebration with me. Do you know what I can do celebration? Thanksgiving. What? They have been promoted as deacon in their church. And what does he do? He thinks he's making spiritual progress. He comes to work on Sunday, on Monday morning. And it's feeling more spiritual than before. Praise God. As me as a bank manager, the cleaner comes in. Ah, good morning. Say, praise God. How are you, sister cleaner? And the cleaner is looking at, look, what's happening? Do you know, say, our guy is now digging. And he's telling his wife, very soon, by next year, I should be an assistant pastor. Within 5 years, I will be a pastor. Hey, heaven is sure. Heaven is sure. When we get there, our mansion will be big. Please tell your neighbor, error. Error. Being a pastor means nothing if you are not called to be one. It's an anointing. In the same manner, some people are skilled to make money. That's their skill. If they sneeze like this, it changes to dollar. They wipe their eyebrow, Japanese yen. I'm serious. Everything they do, they just look and say, why are all these roofs green? Why don't we paint them yellow? That idea is $1 million. And someone now telling you, they write a book for you on how to convert your ideas to money. And pastors will actually buy it. And they are trying to convert their preaching to money. One of the things I'm going to teach Christians here, as much as possible, that the Bible says, there is he that giveth. There is a ministry of giving. That's why I've preached that thing again and again. I know God has fulfilled that one for me. That I have never believed. In kingdom world, God knows the time will come, we'll be spending this money in billions on an annual basis. And I still maintain that 90% of that money will come from 12 people maximum. 12. The other 10% is just so that, if you are being blessed, you should give. Are you getting my point? So we have to make allowance. That's the reason why you will never hear me beg for money or go on radio. Some people think that the more your radio, your outreach, the more money you will come in. Listen to our radio broadcast. We have never once used style to tell people how they can give to us. Why?
Because I understand. The Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest field. So I have prayed the Lord of the harvest, you understand, to send financial laborers into this harvest field. I'm explaining something here. My emphasis today is don't even imagine that the amount of money you have outwardly is a sign of spiritual progress. It is not. It is not a sign of spiritual progress. That's why I first used the other one also as an example. If you're a businessman, they made you a pastor in your church does not mean you are now spiritual. It may mean you are now confused. No, pastors make that mistake a lot. Every dedicated member, they must promote him. If he's dedicated in giving, they have to give him a title to show that they recognize his work. If you're a member of a church or a pastor, and every month you drop 1 million for the ministry, and you turn to me and say, man of God, you've been a blessing. Here's your own 500,000 naira. I won't give you any title. I won't even give you special chair. You will sit according to when you arrived. It is first come, first sit. You know, there's first serve, first sit. What's it called? First seated. If you like, come and say, man of God, God just spoke to me. I should buy you this Lincoln Navigator 2015 model. I will collect it, pray for you on the road, start it. People say, ah, pastor, you have a new car. Say, so the Lord bless me with it. I won't mention your name. If you say it's not the Lord, come and collect your car. Do you understand my point? Since you believe it is the Lord, leave me alone. And when you come for Bible study, it's what determines where you will sit. I am not promoting you for any reason. Yeah, it's true. Why? Because the title pastor is not, do you understand? It's a call. If you don't have it, forget it. You ain't going to get it. But if a man is called to ministry, and I see that unction upon him, some people, you know, pulpit is reward for faithfulness. You know, yeah. I said this thing for pastors to understand. It's very wrong. If you have been faithful in church, we allow you to preach. Nonsense. I allow you to preach if I know that God has dropped an unction for people, you know, inside you. You give me 10 million naira and you come every day to clean my shoe and carry my bag, you will sit where you are supposed to sit. Why? You are not more spiritual than Precious on the camera. I can't say Precious. No, this is your camera thing. Eh? You've been filming very well. In fact, it's your turn to stand in front. It doesn't work. No, it's amazing you have to teach Christians this thing. The title pastor is not a promotion thing. It's a calling thing. And each man has to understand his role and enjoy it. If you are, like I said, he that giveth every month 1.5 million into the ministry, be happy. Be happy that we are collecting it. If you annoy us, we won't collect it again. If those of you know me well enough, you know I can do such things. I will ban you from giving money to the ministry. Because you have given money. And I say, Pastor, I think we shouldn't broadcast here again. They are not good. I'm not asking that you stop them from broadcasting our messages. In fact, I'll pray one small prayer for you. The next 6 months, you won't make one kobo. Because you think your offering has given you mouth. So that you'll be able to live longer, I will seal it for you. Say, God, please. We'll talk about this, our brother. He's getting cocky. Amen. He's getting proud. I want to pray that he'll be humilified. I mean, he'll be humbled. That is the correct English. I don't want to use the word humiliated, you know that kind of thing. The Lord humble him. So the Lord said, what do you think I should do? I said, small poverty, 6 months, you'll be okay. Then after you return next time, you will give a billion, you won't talk. Your name will be like Nebuchadnezzar. You understand? If I want to say, Brother Andrew, you say, no, my name is Brother Nebus. You say, which one be Nebus for this matter? He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey the word of God. I have realized that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men, and he gives money to whosoever he wishes. You, it's your own mouth you use to confess. When they say, oh, I want to make Brother Andrew, Philip said, sorry, I want to make Brother Andrew. Duke, he said, no, sir. And Brother Nebus, I'm okay with cleaning the chairs at the back. Why did I say all of this? Christians, they have a wrong impression of how to measure spiritual progress. Spiritual progress is not measured by, do I have money outwardly or do I have a title? I'm swinging both of them so that you will know each one has its role. That's what I want to emphasize. God gives somebody a lot of money. It's an unction. It's not because it's spiritual. It is because that is his calling. I hope you're getting my point. It's his calling. So as you, as a preacher, you keep on getting better in preaching. The anointing of God is flowing more and more through you. In the same manner, that individual, all right, he gets better in making money. And the anointing of God flows more and more. So God is teaching him how to make money, how to give money, how to administer money. Those are the kinds of people that you find out that they say, how much of his income does he give? And you say that, yeah, the man gives maybe like between 90 and 98%. Wow, he's a great giver. No, he's not a great giver in that sense. He's just that he's he that giveth, which is a ministry. And he's fulfilling his ministry. I like to say this to people, once you are earning much more than your personal basic needs, I'm not saying, you know, you can wake up and say, my needs are, I must change my BMW every 18 months. You know, there are some crazy needs which you created by yourself. Uh-huh. Now, I'm talking about basic needs, eat food, sleep, children go to school. Once you are earning much more than that, you have bought a ministry. Yeah, I am serious. That's why I don't believe in this gospel of give 10% of your income to God. I don't believe in it. Because there are people that if they give 99%, God is still discussing the balance 1%. See, it's not complete. God is saying, this 1%, how did you manage to arrive at you take 1%? He said, oh, Lord, you know, the other time, my wife and my children, we had to travel, they will use this one, we had to move houses. God said, hey, but that came to 0.5. He said, Lord, but I gave 99. This balance 0.5. That's why that pastor has not paid the children's school fees. He said, but it's not in my church. Huh? Did I send you only to your church? Oh, yeah. What did you buy last time? Just a Toyota Camry for my wife. Go and sell it. The guy will collect it. He had given 99%. And God is not letting him rest on the balance 1%. And God said, that 1% that's remaining, I want half. Sell that Camry. Only. He said, does God say only? Thieves and robbers, is that not only? Then God will collect that one. He will go there and knock on the guy's door. Good morning. The Lord laid it upon my heart to give you. It's, you know, no smile. I'll give the offering and go back home. No, really. No, listen. Some people are here listening to me, and that's your job. Right now, you are still on 10, 15, 20. You are going to get to 50. But listen to me, a time will come. That is, before you spend money for yourself, you'll be checking whether it's not somebody else's money. You earn the money through your businesses. But because you are a kingdom citizen, you understand that you are doing this thing for your God and Father. Then you look at the money and say, this one, is it my one? While you are still thinking, you will knock. Okay, your wife will just be gisting with you. Ah, do you know I passed by this place yesterday? They say half of the children in that school, they have not paid their WAEC fees. I can't believe it. As your wife is grumbling, you realize the Holy Spirit is talking. You tell your wife, say, you know, so say, we're saying that we should travel to Kenya the other time. I don't think we should go again. Your wife says, why? We'll go later. You package the money. Where is that school you told me about? You go there. I ask the principal, say, one man who loves all these children sent me to come and drop this money to subsidize all their WAEC fees. So anyone, so how much is remaining? Each person will now pay 1,000 naira. Because supposed to be, how much is WAEC this is? I don't even know. How much? 15,000. Uh-huh. So you pay 14,000 for each person. They will now come and say, hey, praise God, this school has subsidized. God has helped us. All the pupils in this school, the government school, are paying only 1,000. Hey, praise God, though. That's 500 children saying, praise God, though. And God is hearing it, that, okay, through you, many thanksgiving is arising up to God. That boy is walking. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's how it is. The man that has not made more spiritual progress than the man who's preaching. The one preaching is the one that helped him to understand that. Listen, Christianity, each person, do your duty. Forget about this, who's being promoted. God will lift you up in your own season. Amen. I've spoken enough. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's just say, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Quickly again, say, Lord, I live for you. That's the purpose, that's the desire of my heart. Living for you, doing your will. Living for you, doing your will. That is everything that I desire. That is everything that I desire.